So once again, it's Acts chapter 4 and verse 1. Peter and John are speaking. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means is he made whole? Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you all. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred amongst themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them, because of the people, and all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Amen. May God bless this reading to us. After the man at the beautiful gate had been healed, Peter used that opportunity to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ, to the people that gathered around the miracle. Such an amazing thing had been done that everyone was excited. Everyone wanted to see the spectacle. A man that had been lame for 40 years, who had been laid at the gate of the temple for many decades, now was walking about, was leaping about, was praising God for the tremendous miracle that had been performed upon him. And he was amazed, and the people were amazed, and they began to listen to what Peter and John had to say. And we spoke about that last week, how that this miracle gave authority, gave boldness, indeed gave power to the message of the Lord Jesus Christ that these disciples, these apostles, were preaching. Peter preached about serious matters, not just silly talk, not just frivolous things, but things to do with eternal life, things to do with Jesus Christ, things about death and about life and about resurrection from the grave. Important things, meaningful things, things that mattered to the hearts, to the souls of those who were there and hearing what he had to say. And he gave a challenge. He called upon these people to repent and to be converted, to be changed, to be altered, not to be the same people that they were when they came up to the temple, but to go away from the temple different because they had met the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, of course, had been crucified. He had been buried. He had risen again. And he had ascended into heaven. Jesus himself used to walk the streets of Jerusalem, but now he was seated at the right hand of God in heaven. They weren't seeing Jesus anymore. They were listening to the apostles of Jesus, the messengers of Jesus, the people of Jesus carrying the message about Jesus to those who had ears to hear. And the temple authorities were very upset about all of the terrible things, the disruption and the problems that were being caused by this great spectacle that had arisen there at the gate of the temple. It's very interesting how these authorities came and they arrested Peter and John and they examined them and they threatened them and they put them in jail overnight and they thought this is a problem and we're going to have to deal with it. And you know, that tells us something about religion that we need to remember. The temple authorities are a picture of religion, and there's lots of religion in this world. Many, many kinds of... You youngsters here, you younger people, boys and girls, you have been very blessed by being brought by your parents at an early age under the sound of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there's lots of religion out there, and there's lots of false religion. How do you know what's true? How do you know whether you listen to these apostles speaking about Jesus or you listen to the temple authorities, the religion of the world, and do what they say that you should do? Because religion wants to tell people what they have to do to be saved and to be happy in this world. But the gospel tells men and women and boys and girls what Jesus has already done to save us from our sins and to bring us life and happiness, not only in this world, but in the world to come. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ was the central message that these apostles preached, and this is God's way of saying that salvation is a completed work which Jesus Christ has accomplished. And lots of people heard this message when Peter and John preached. Can anyone tell me how many people were converted on the day of Pentecost when Peter preached his first sermon on that day when the Holy Spirit came? Somebody's got their hand up. Do you know?
A million?
Not a million. Not a million. How many?
3,000.
Yes. Yes. 3,000. Now, most people would think that that was absolutely amazing. But there were 5,000 people converted this day. I don't know whether it was the next day. Maybe it was a couple of days later. But already in Jerusalem, there's thousands upon thousands of people. Larry, can you tell me how many people we're allowed to have in this auditorium at one time?
150.
150. Okay, that's 8,000 people. 150 at a time. How many times could we fill this church? Okay, forget that. Forget that. It was a lot of people. A lot of people. And those people were trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And suddenly this was a big problem for the authorities. The Jewish leaders said that so many people are being converted to Jesus. We need to do something about this. But what can we do? These men haven't actually committed a crime. They've not done anything wrong. We don't have a law that we can charge them with. And look, here's this man. He's still dancing. He's obviously healed. We can't deny that this happened. They didn't know what to do. So they threatened the disciples and they told them that they were to stop preaching. Stop preaching about Jesus. And Peter said, how can we stop preaching about Jesus when there is no salvation anywhere else but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the accomplishments of the Lord Jesus Christ? How can we stop telling men and women, boys and girls, about the Lord Jesus when he is the only way of salvation? There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And he went on to say, we cannot but speak of the things that we have seen and heard. And you know, this is the same today. That's the reason why we're here today. That's the reason why we come to church. And I know that sometimes when it comes around to Sunday morning, that little ones groan and say, oh, have I got to go to church today? I was listening to some little ones talking. I'm not going to tell you who they were this morning. And one of them was groaning a little bit about coming to church. And the other one said, oh, it's okay. It's only an hour and a half. So that's what we have to sit through, an hour and a half. But it's okay. It's okay. It's good for us to hear the things about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good for us to hear this message that was so important to the apostles. And it is so important to us today. This is the same gospel that we preach. And we must preach the Lord Jesus Christ. We must preach the uniqueness of the Lord Jesus Christ as the way of salvation. It was Peter's message. It was John's message. It was Paul's message. And praise God, he has maintained that message in its purity all down through the ages. And men and women and boys and girls can hear that today. If we are going to be saved, we must be saved by trusting and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must preach as Peter preached. And we must look to the Holy Spirit to add to the church daily such as should be saved, as did the apostles and the early church. 3,000 one day, 5,000 another day. But every single believer is a work of grace, is a miracle of God. And every single believer is precious in his sight. Thank you for listening and for your attention this morning. May the Lord bless you.